John Cooper Jr. has joined us in studio this morning. He's our guest, and he is the executive director of the Niagara Gospel Mission in Niagara Falls. And just before the news break, John was explaining to us what rucking is. Did I use the proper tense there?
Yes, you did.
Okay. All right. And so it's basically an exercise in testing your physical stamina.
I'd say physical, but a lot more mental, because have weight, just bearing down on your shoulders, and you just got to keep walking. I mean, that's really the test. Obviously, physically, it's a test as well, but just being able to grin and bear it is a lot more of the test.
I'm guessing it gets heavier through the course of the day.
It does.
Substantially.
Yeah.
Wow. Now, if you had a little... A radio flyer red wagon.
Thank you.
That would be a lot. That'd be a lot better. Yeah.
You like the way I slipped that in there, John?
Yes. Thank you. Yes. It answered my question. I can sleep tonight.
Yeah.
Now with that answer. So.
Yes. And how much weight did you actually put in that bag?
So for this event, I had 45 pounds. And we had in the Army when we would go on operations of that. I was in a long-range reconnaissance unit in their sniper section, so we would be out about 5 or 6 miles before any other unit, and we'd be doing a lot of the reconnaissance. So you'd be living 2 weeks out of everything that was in that bag. So it was about 120 pounds in the Army. We'd be moving through the mountains and the jungles and, you know, any terrain that was available to us. But Here, I decided to use 45 pounds because it was a lot better.
Okay. I'm sorry. Go ahead, Eric.
I was just going to say, he really is a tough guy. You know, there are some people that walk around acting like tough guys. John doesn't act like a tough guy, but he is a tough guy. That's crazy. 120.
You don't really have an option. Yeah.
Right. But at least that one gets a little lighter as you go, right, as you use up your supplies?
Not really.
No.
So food and water. Well, water was a huge weight on it, obviously. So that would get used up.
Right.
The food was not that much weight. But what it really was ammunition, radios, batteries, mission essential stuff, stuff to hide you from thermal imaging and that kind of stuff that you carried around. So
So it didn't get any lighter, though.
Okay. Yeah, no.
It was a nice thought. I was trying to be optimistic.
Your knees got more in pain.
Yeah.
So there was something that increased.
Yeah.
So, John, the purpose of your rucking is what? Was what?
So the rucking, obviously, is a workout, and, you know, I needed to lose some weight. Still need to lose some more weight. So that was part of it. But really, the rucking, as we've been describing, you know, having everything you own on your back. For us, it was for a 2-week operation, and but for the homeless population, that is what they do. Everything they own is on their back, and they're walking around, and they're walking to the Niagara Gospel Mission. They may be able to get a bus ride out, but some of them don't. Some of them walk. We had a guy walk from Gasport to Niagara Falls to stay with us, and so. That's really what the homeless population is going through. So it's really what inspired me to do the rucking. The number, 222 miles, came from the unit I deployed to Afghanistan which was the 2nd Battalion, 22nd Infantry Regiment. So we started on what we affectionately call Triple Deuce Day, which is February 22nd because it's 3-2s, and that was the unit we were in. And then I ended on Good Friday. So it was 5 weeks. To do 222 miles, and pretty much every morning I strapped on the pack and did 7 miles or whatever the number was. Sometimes did longer, sometimes it's shorter if I had meetings and stuff like that to go to. So,
wow. So how did that affect your family life?
Didn't really have as much free time as I would like to spend to help my wife with our kids, But it was, you know, a lot of it happened before any of them woke up, which I try to do all my own personal stuff, you know, before the family gets up in the morning. So I'm usually up around 4:30 anyway, so it wasn't as big of a shift, but it definitely affected the family when I would fall asleep randomly throughout the day because I was so tired.
Well, this is certainly understandable. So now, as far as the financial end of it, you were not only raising awareness for the mission, but you were also in the process of just, you know, raising some funds for the operation of the mission as well, right?
Yeah, so our RECON program, which is short for Reconciliation, is really what we want guys to go to when they come to the mission. We don't want to just be a place where people can stay for their 30 days or their 60 days and then, you know, go back right into the situation that they that got them there in the first place. And the RECON program is that life change, that recovery program that we have. And so we currently have 12 spots for them, and we wanted to expand that. And so this was acted as not only awareness for the homeless population, homeless veterans, but also to expand that program out by 4 to 6 beds. So that was what we were trying to raise money towards. Our Liberty Suite, which is our homeless veteran program, 70% of the guys that go through that end up in our RECON program. They really want to make the life change. And then 80% of all those men, they actually go into other programs in the mission as well. So 80% of all the homeless veterans we serve are going into some sort of long-term programming that we have. And the other ones, we've been able to connect with the VA for housing. And so that's really our that's why we were doing the fundraiser, was to expand that program so that we can have more homeless vets that come through. They have more room and space to seek that long-term recovery.
Can we ask what the results were financially?
Yeah, so I originally, because I just didn't know how the response would be, said I'd like to raise $2,222 just as a, right, you know, again, a nod to the unit. And I ended up raising $16,190.
Wow. So hey, God, right?
All right.
Yes, that's all the Lord. And we're very thankful to everyone who donated. And we really, the mission that we have, it's not state or federal funded. So it really is dependent on people sacrificially giving to those in their community. So
now this was individual donations, as well as I'm sure some of the churches, perhaps some businesses, maybe
churches, businesses, individuals. All of the above. It was really veteran organizations. It was really an outpouring of people that care about those in their community, which was very touching to see.
Yeah. John, there's so much more to talk about. We do need to take a break right at the moment, but we'll return after our news break and continue our conversation. John Cooper Jr. is in our studios. He's the executive director of the Niagara Gospel Mission in Niagara Falls. Always a heartwarming conversation with him. So, John, we have to ask you now, what about your lawn maintenance practices? Do you have a lawn tractor?
I have a push lawnmower.
Okay.
I live in Niagara Falls, so I don't have as much grass to cut. When I lived in Watertown, New York, I had lots of grass to cut, but I still also only used a push mower.
Oh, okay.
So it took me, I think it was about 2 hours to push mow my whole lawn that I had, but I didn't mind it. I just got out there and walked.
Yeah. So, John, I think we need to give a challenge to Eric here. I think the next time he does his lawn, he needs to ruck while he's doing it, have a backpack full of weights and things.
I think you should show me how first, John. I will, you should live by demonstration, right?
Yeah, you know, someone's got to model it, right?
That's right, because people are watching. Your sphere of influence is incredible. Uh-huh. Uh-huh. Very, very heavy, very high. And the world, you know, they're watching, John. So
yeah. Lawn rucking, that sounds like a lot of fun.
Yeah, well, actually, that is how I used to push mow my lawn, was with a ruck on. My wife can attest. So
why does that not surprise me?
Yeah. Wow. So just before we took the break, we were talking with John, and he was on this couple-of-month project where he was rucking 222 miles around Niagara Falls to raise awareness of the Niagara Gospel Mission in the falls, but also to raise some funds. And he had a target of about $2,200 and ended up taking in $16,000 plus. And great, just a great demonstration of love for the mission, love for the homeless in Niagara Falls, John. And I just think that that's a great a demonstration.
Yeah, we were overwhelmed. Any time that we got a letter or with a check or an online that said, you know, they put either Recon or the Ruck in the memo for their donation. And like I said, I did not expect. I expected maybe a little bit more, maybe 5,000, but to get 16,000 was just. It was. I couldn't even. Well, we'd sit in the office and be like, people are really giving to this, and then. When I would text our board to give them updates, they said, well, I know you hit the mileage, but just keep walking. I said, nope. maybe next year, but not anymore this year.
Well, very good. So the mission in Niagara Falls, right at the corner of Maine and Portage, right? Right is the Y there.
Right at the Y, and there's beautiful diner right across the street.
So. Oh, yeah, I've been in the Y Diner before. I love the food in there. Anyways, right across the street is the building you're in used to be the YMCA in Niagara Falls, correct?
Yes, that was the YMCA, and then they were moving on to other ventures, and so they were pitching plans to sell. And Sean Smith, who's our founder, went in there and said, hey, this is what we would do with the building, but we can't afford it. So I just thought I'd let you know. And they actually ended up selling the YMCA to us for a dollar.
Wow.
And whoever was on the board, the president of that board, he said, he goes, you guys most align with the original mission of the YMCA. So we're going to give it to you. So we've been very blessed with that building. A lot of renovation, needs still a lot of work going on. Mm-hmm. We got exciting plans for other stuff in the building and in the old pool and stuff like that. So a lot of renovation, a lot of work, but we are very blessed to have that building for only a dollar.
Mm. Wow. What a great story. And, of course, the YMCA, originally founded under the name of Young Men's Christian Association, if I'm not mistaken, right?
Yes. Yep.
Yeah. So, but the mission in Niagara Falls is very critical. There's a lot of homeless people, and you folks are there to help through, well, actually, that's part of your mission here. It's help, hope, and healing.
Yeah, help, hope, and healing. And that's really, the three words that guide us. And helping them right at their need. But also not just helping them and saying, okay, here's your food, here's your clothing, here's your warm bed, but also giving them hope. And obviously, it's the Niagara gospel mission. So we believe that hope comes from the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ, and that he transforms their lives and heals them, healing from all of the sin in their lives, being sinned against, just everything they've gone through. There is healing for that and restoration in their relationships.
Very good. Well, I do believe personally, John, that God is a God of restoration.
Yes.
He is looking to see broken lives restored. And you folks are doing a great work there in Niagara Falls, such a needy area.
Yeah, it really is. I mean, we're even at a point where we were drawing statistics from the past few months, and we're so full, we're actually turning away, I believe it was anywhere from 3 to 7 a night. So that's an average of, 5 a night that we just don't have room for. Mm-hmm. So we're exploring how do we expand by a few beds. Can we fit a few more people in just to keep helping? And a lot of it actually comes from the hospitals. Hospitals, people are coming in there in an emergency room. And then when they go to release them from Memorial Hospital or wherever they're at, then it's, okay, well, where do we send you? You don't have a home.
Right.
And that's where we get a lot of our referrals, and we're very grateful. A lot of the guys that have come from the hospital into the mission have ended up, again, going into our long-term programming and making some real life change, which has been a very big encouragement.
Yeah. Our guest this morning has been with us now, and his name is John Cooper, Jr., he's the executive director of the Niagara Gospel Mission in Niagara Falls. And, John, it's been quite a morning with you. We've learned quite a bit about what's going on with the mission and the importance of the mission in the community of Niagara Falls, what you've been doing to heighten the awareness and also raise some funding. And so, you know, time flies, I guess, when we're really having a good conversation here, huh?
Yeah, it does. And Eric has tried to convince me to take my shoes off as well, but they are remaining on.
Well, good for you. Some people should just leave their shoes on.
It is true.
Yeah, and some influences are better left unaddressed, actually. So anyway, so John, I know that, you know, we're in our final segment here with you this morning, and most of us have probably seen the ads on TV that talks about the three P's of life insurance. And so I see that there are three P's here involving the mission. Do you care to explain?
I would. I don't actually know the three P's of life insurance.
Price.
Well, we're a little more diverse in our in our P's. So the three P's, something that, you know, we recognize in Scripture. So, you know, for those who don't know about us, we're, and the other times I've been on here, we're unapologetically scriptural driven. We want to know what the Lord says in His Word, the Bible, and we want to follow that. And so in the book of Ezra and Nehemiah, which actually in the original Hebrew Bible were one book, in our English Bibles, we've divided them into two. But Ezra and Nehemiah, the story of those two men, God used to bring back Jerusalem from the Babylonian captivity. And so they come back and they rebuild the city. And then what we see when Jesus comes in the Gospels is he's coming back to, I think it was 500 years after that city had been rebuilt. So you can see the rebuild in Ezra and Nehemiah. All that to say, in the book of Nehemiah, you really see three P's, as I call them, that guide him in his actual leading of the city. I mean, he rebuilt the walls of Jerusalem, which was their biggest problem, in 52 days, which it takes 52 days for your request of to fix a pothole to go from one desk to the other. So, I mean, this was government work at its most efficient time. All that is just in jest. But
and only in Niagara Falls.
Yeah.
Not here in Lockport.
No, we address it much quicker
here in Lockport. Thank you, Mayor.
Yeah. So, so the three P's are prayer, provide, and proclaim. And so that's really what guides us in our thinking of how to help people. Number one, prayer works. Prayer is a powerful force. And a lot of times when we pray, we think it's trying to align God's will with ours. Like, God, please give me this. God, please give me that. But really what prayer is in Scripture is it's aligning our will with God as we read His Word and we go to Him. And we're just in that continual state of prayer, wanting to be led in the way we're supposed to do it. And that's one of the way God uses it. But he wants us to bring our petitions to Him, to bring the condition of our city to Him. He wants us to come to Him with that, and He uses us in that process to really make changes. But after you pray, you can't just sit there in prayer. King Alfred the Great from before it was Britain and England, his brother wasn't there for the fight because he was laboring long in prayer, right? So King Alfred had to actually, you know, fight off the Northmen as they were coming during that time. And so that's, we don't want to be labor long in prayer, so we're not there for the actual fight, right? We want to provide. And by provide, we mean Nehemiah saw what the biggest need was, and that was a wall to defend people. And actually, a lot of people lived on the wall, so he was rebuilding houses as well. So he saw what the biggest need is. And what we want to do as Christians is we don't want to do what James says, where we look at people and say, oh, I'll be warm and be fed, and we don't actually provide anything for them. We just say, be well, and let them go on their way. I'll pray for you, and not actually help them out. And so that second P of provide is to actually provide for them, provide their needs. And for us, that's housing, food, clothing, and anything else that they need. And then lastly is proclaim. And we proclaim the gospel of Jesus Christ because we know that that is the only hope of salvation. And that is what's going to change people's lives, not just here on earth, but for eternity as well.
Mm. Very powerful. There would be a fourth P. that we could add to that, John. But prayer, provide, proclaim, all important things. And you know, the interesting thing is that somebody could be sitting at home this morning even, and having listened to the message that you brought forth this morning, and say, you know what, I want to help out, but all I can do right now is pray. That's very important.
Yeah, we are not just looking for your money, right? We're not just out here saying, hey, just give us money so we can do the work and you guys don't have to worry about it. But that prayer, you can pray for us every morning. Maybe you're in a situation where you can't leave your home or your room. Maybe you're injured or whatever it is. You can pray and you can have a massive impact on the work that's being done in Niagara Falls simply by going to the Lord in prayer and asking Him to intervene on our behalf in people's lives.
So, John, one question, and I don't know that we've talked about this in the past, at least in reference to the Niagara Gospel Mission, but over the course of time, somebody has come to you, you have addressed their needs, you've helped them physically, you've helped them spiritually, and it's time for them to move on. They have made some progress in their life, and they're confident that they get to get back into the world and rejoin you know, some sort of normalcy, get a job perhaps, and take on responsibility. Has somebody like that ever come back and said, wow, my time at the mission was just invaluable, and I want to do something to thank you?
It does happen. A lot of people we have not been able to track when they've left. Whether we try to call them, they don't answer, they change their phone number, or we lost their contact information, whatever the case may be. But we have had some come back. And of course it's odd now because it's a brand new staff, right? Mm-hmm. And they've come back and said, what you guys did in my life was very impactful. But we've also had people who have come back and they did well for a while, but then they slipped back into it, and they've come back and said, this was the place I found hope. I need to get back on track. And though we love that, because we're saying, okay, you've recognized the mistakes you're making. Now you're back where you can actually fix those mistakes.
A message of hope, I think, is very important, and it's good to know that they feel comfortable, that they know they've slid a little bit and they need to get back on track, and that the mission is there for them.
Yeah, and you can't buy hope. A lot of our solution to our problems is let's just tax more and then use that money to fund a program to just put them in a house, right? And that's a solution. Let's throw money at it. And money is gasoline. You can put it on a fire, and it'll just make the fire bigger. Or you can put it in an engine, and it'll run smoothly. And just throwing money at these issues, you cannot buy hope for people. You really have to get into their lives and show them that there's another way. And sometimes that takes years to convince someone. But you have to be willing to do that work to show them the hope that there is out there, that you don't have to live this way. You don't have to go from shelter to shelter to shelter. You can make a change right now, and you can submit your life to Jesus Christ. Mm.
John, we have about a minute left in our conversation this morning. The last time you were here, I think we touched on briefly the vision for possibly a shelter for the women and children.
Yes, we actually have had, just last week, had meetings with architects in the drawing up, and we are hoping very soon to announce the official plans for that. But it is rolling. It's going to happen. So,
all right. Well, great, John. We really appreciate having you here this morning. It's been a wonderful time with you, and we thank you. And you are sticking around for Trivia Teaser, right?
Well, I'll be here for Trivia Teaser. But before that, I'd like to invite everyone on July 13th. We're having a picnic at Hyde Park. Oh, you can go on our website for more information, but we'd like to invite everyone to that picnic. So,
all right.
What is the website?
The website is niagaragospelmission.org.
niagaragospelmission.org. Sounds great. We will look into that, John, and I'm sure we'll have you back in plenty of time before that event so that we can get an update and be reminded of the picnic that's coming up. You said it's July, correct?
July 13th.
Yep. All right. Very good. 8:53 is our time. We're going to take a break here, and I know Eric has been sweating out this morning's Trivia Teaser question. He's been studying, and I saw, you know, a cloth that he was wiping his forehead, his brow with, sweating a little bit. So,
well, it's the same cloth he's using for his feet, so be watched.
Oh, yuck.
All right. Oh, goodness.
Wow.